I thank God whom I serve, as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers, recalling your tears. I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flames the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life. Not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. Amen. This grace was given to me in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. Take a deep breath. Say, this grace that was given to me in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. Before the beginning of time, when I was one in him, united to him, the grace was given to me to go through this earth experience. I have a choice. I can say yes or I can reject it, because he's given me free will. As I was studying this in the past, not only hours, but days, I can only say that what he knew about me, I'm now learning about myself. And that which he prepared me to do, I would have thrown away because of my lack of discernment. And my own mind and my own emotions in the Adamic earth suit that he allowed me to have, with the multiples of levels of abuse and rejection, coordinated so that I would run either to him or from him. Somehow he anointed me with grace to run to him and cry out to him, so that I could become what was already scheduled before the earth was cooled. Before time began means there was no moon and no sun, and the earth was not rotating. But I was with him then. It took years for me to learn why I wept so much when I went into the Garden of Gethsemane. I could not comprehend why the weeping, why the intense weeping, why the intense bellyache that I couldn't get rid of. I even laid down in the side of the Church for All Nations against the wall in the corner with a fetal position. Couldn't stop the weeping, couldn't stop the crying. My sleeves were wet, my face was messed. My head was full of intense swelling. I could not stop. I I know now that it was a birthing going on. And he had chosen me to do a work that he already knew I would be able to do if I trusted in his grace. But I could reject the grace at any point. I could stop it at any point. He made the choice and the Holy Spirit showed me, but I didn't dare speak it because it didn't make sense. I'm a sensible man. I like things that function the way they're supposed to. Amen. And if they don't supposed to and they don't do it, I get upset.
Amen.
That's Adam in me.
Amen.
But the Holy Ghost in me told me then, you were with me and you were interceding with me when I was making the decision on that rock. And when I touched that rock, something exploded inside of me because the gate was closed. Gail was a witness. The gate was closed, but I even told the Lord, I said, Lord, the gate is locked. You're not supposed to go into the inner sanctuary. But guess what? The gate was not locked. When I went up there, to my surprise, I lifted up the latch and I went in. And when I bent over to touch the rock, that's the rock where he dropped drops of blood before the crucifix was ever brought forth. That's the place. The anointing in there was so intense, I never wanted to leave. But do you know everything is established in two or three witnesses? My mother was totally, totally sick that day. I was told by a couple of nurses I was supposed to take her to the ER. And I said, no, God said he's healing her. And she stayed in the hotel room the whole day. And that night, I fed her in the bedroom. On Saturday, they gave us an option. You can either go back to the garden or go to Tel Aviv. Well, as far as I was concerned, there was no choice. I was going back to the garden because now maybe I understand what was going on when I was there on a Wednesday or a Thursday, whatever it was. So mom is all excited because I told her what happened. And when we got into that place with my mother, you got to remember, mom was turning 80. Her energy levels were not where I would have liked to see her. But you see, I was wanting to see what God is going to confirm today. I didn't tell her all the details of what I did or what happened to me. But I could remember my consciousness of walking in the gate, being so aware of the anointing of the Lord. And the minute we walked through the gate, my mom started to feel the presence of God in a mighty way. And she was overwhelmed and she says, I don't know what's happening, but something is happening. Something inside here, something is different. And when we finally got into the church, because she had an experience as we were walking in, and it's a huge church. No pews except for a little section in the middle. And I said, where do you want to go? Now you got to remember, she had arthritis in both knees. She couldn't kneel, except on one knee. She says, he's telling me to go right to the altar rail, which is where I was 2 days before. She says, I just want to kneel down. I said, okay. So I stood behind her and helped her, so she went down on one knee. The other one didn't really want to bend. And as she's there, I'm kneeling next to her. And I said, and what else? She said, I'm supposed to go touch the rock, but the gate is locked. Can you imagine? The Holy Ghost telling her the exact same words. I said, Mom, it's not locked. You can come. She says, but it's inside the sanctuary. I'm not supposed to go in there. I said, are we going to obey your brain or are we going to flow with the go? She says, okay, we go. So I helped her up and we walked around. When she opened the latch, obviously it wasn't locked. We went up, I think it was like three steps, and around that rock is a piece of iron that looks just like the crown of thorns. It's full of thorns sticking out. And it goes around this huge rock. I would say it's about from here to the other side of that table over there. So that's how big it is. And the rock is, of course, right there. She says, I can't kneel down. How am I going to touch it? I said, we'll find a way. And so I helped her, and she leaned forward way over. And when she touched the rock, she burst into tears, and she couldn't stop crying. And I was then aware. See, I was given to this woman at 9 months old through no choice of my own. My biological mother took me back 2 months later. I bawled all night and drove the house crazy. The entire house didn't sleep because of this crybaby. And at 5, 6 o'clock the next morning, my biological mother with my biological dad were in their buggy in front of my grandfather's house on my mother's side, the one that brought me up, and said, I'll never take him away from you again. I apologize, and I ask you to forgive me for all the grief that I have caused you. He is yours. And the minute that I went into her arms, I shut up. Why did I shut up? Because I was in the ordained place that God had placed me. Why is God so slow sometimes in unveiling his purpose for us and the grace that he prepared before this creation was here? That's what I'm trying to get you to see today. 2 Timothy 1:7 says there's no fear, but verse 9 says there's grace that is allotted to me to complete my mission. The grace that he prepared is allotted as needed as I go forward for the year after year after year until I return to him. And to connect me with whoever and whomever he has chosen. And they will be drawn by the grace of God, not by me doing it, but by the grace of God. You're an example. And that love flow between us is growing. Why? Because it is coordinated by the same grace that's constantly being poured out into us. That one. And her husband, given to me as a gift to help. Years of being able to depend on them. Coordinated by God. When you got up and you blew that whistle, that was a whistle. You blew that shofar today, and immediately I remember, this is Marguerite, and every one of those petals says, I love you, I love you, I love you. No, he loves me not. That is who you are in Christ. You are that unbelievable, gorgeous flower, young woman. Hanamachashia. And that was my introduction to who you are. And I didn't even know
my name.
Had no idea who she was, and I saw a vision of a, and I saw, God gives me French responses, okay? And that's what he did. He showed me that Marguerite, and I said to her, I see a beautiful Marguerite. And she said, that's my name. And that was my introduction to Peggy. She's a gift to me, prepared by him before eternity began.
That's my middle name.
Praise God. But you didn't blow the whistle. So lift your hands. Say, Father.
Father.
I'm receiving that grace.
I'm receiving that grace.
That you set aside.
That you set aside.
Before eternity.
Before eternity.
Was finished. I was with you.
I was with
my Savior Jesus. I was a part of the body of Christ. And I'm flowing back into that reality now.
And there are others that have been called.
Give them the grace they need.
Give them the favor they need.
Not just for salvation,
but for obedience.
In Jesus' name, we pray.